If you dig the twisted, admire the outlandish, and are enamored by the unusual, you're in the right place. True crime, the supernatural, the unexplained, now you're speaking our language. If you agree, join us as we dive into the darker side. You know, because it's more fun over here. Welcome to Total Conundrum.
Warning, some listeners may find the following content disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, Conundrum crew. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Total Conundrum. Today, we are sharing a collab story of the ghostly horrors of Willowbrook Manor, featuring Total Conundrum, three siblings walk into a bar, sounds interesting, haunts, suspended sentence, couple of couples, sinister studio, scary tale and serial, murder and mimosas, weird mythic, Zach solved mysteries, flirting with 40, they don't stay dead, and where the weird ones are.
It's time to explore Willowbrook Manor with Lucy as she unravels the mysteries and secrets within its walls. Prepare for a chilling and captivating story that'll keep you enthralled until the last gasp.
Brace yourselves, Conundrum crew. This is one episode you definitely won't want to miss.
As always, we value your feedback. Please rate and review our podcast on Apple and Spotify. Subscribe and like on YouTube. And hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode.
Your support means the world to us. If you have any story ideas or recommendations, contact us at totalconundrum.com, or you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter.
A huge thank you to everyone that contributed to this really fun collaboration. You all are amazing, and we cannot wait for another project with you. Conundrum crew, please show all of these shows some love. They are all amazing humans and excellent podcasters. Hold on to your seats, everyone, as we dive into the ghostly horrors of Willowbrook Manor. On a chilly autumn evening, the wind whispered secrets through the ancient trees surrounding Willowbrook Manor, a sprawling estate that stood for centuries. The manor was nestled atop a hill overlooking a small, picturesque village below.
For generations, the locals had shared eerie tales of strange encounters at Willowbrook Manor. Some said that they heard ghostly laughter echoing through the corridors in the dead of the night. Others claimed to have seen flickering lights dancing in the windows when the manor was supposed to be vacant.
But it was Lucy, a young woman new to the village, who would be the first to experience the hauntings firsthand. She had recently moved into the manor, drawn in by its inexplicable charm and longing for adventure.
On her first night in the manor, as she settled into her bedroom, Lucy noticed an old, dusty diary tucked away in a forgotten corner. Its pages were filled with the cryptic entries, recounting tales of love, betrayal, and a tragedy that had befallen the former residents of Willowbrook Manor.
Just as she reached the last entry, the room grew icy cold. A soft, melodic voice whispered from the shadows, "Help me."
Lucy dropped the diary almost as quickly as her stomach sank. Her eyes darted from wall to wall, checking for any sign of the voice. Rubbing her eyes, she thinks to herself, "That's enough of that. This is a new house to her, and there are bound to be weird noises," she reassured herself. She puts the diary back onto the bookshelf and decides that she needs to get some rest. "Get it together, Lucy. You're just tired," she says out loud while staring into her own eyes in the mirror while brushing her teeth. "Help me," sounds like it comes from the bedroom. This time she's certain that she's not imagining it. And against the advice of every horror movie she has ever seen, Lucy, armed with her toothbrush, walks into the bedroom. She stands in the doorway in shock as there is a young boy, about 10 years old, sitting on the side of her bed with his hands covering his face. Lucy looks around the room further to see how he got there. When she looks back to the boy, her eyes are met with the most hollow, ice blue eyes she has ever seen. His nose is bleeding and the front of his clothes are completely covered in blood. The closest thing she could grab was an old t-shirt. She begins to rip strips as she approaches the boy asking, "What happened? Are you okay? Where are your parents?" The normal questions you ask a strange boy that mysteriously appeared in your bedroom. The boy says nothing and does not break eye contact the entire time. "Help me." His lips did not move, but somehow Lucy knew that the voice was coming from the boy. She used the cloth to begin to wipe the blood from the boy's upper lip. As she gets closer, she feels nothing but cold.
"Don't touch my son,"
a voice growled in her ear, low and demanding, the voice that could only come from a mother protecting her child. Lucy spins around quickly and was met with nothing except an empty room that feels completely hollow. Lucy shakes her head and turns back to finish tending to the boy's wounds. There is nothing in the bed except the bloody cloth she was using to dress the wounds.
The encounter left her numb. What had she really seen or felt or heard? Did she trust her senses anymore? After giving it some thought, she devised a plan. She acquired a handheld recorder and made a habit of carrying it around. Sometimes she would turn it on and just let it run in silence. Other times, she'd talk out loud, even ask questions, as if someone were there and could hear and respond.
"What do you want?"
Every few days, she played the tapes back to see what might have been captured. At first, it seemed like a maddening waste of time. Straining to hear things almost made the brain want to invent them, it seemed. Nothing useful. White noise. Then, like a voice from a deep, dark well, she heard something that made her blood run cold.
If she listened closely, she could hear them echoing through the static of the recorder. Three voices, which sounded like two children and a young woman, engrossed in a deep conversation. At first, it merely sounded like a low murmuring sound. However, the more Lucy listened, the more intelligible and oddly familiar those murmurs became. In fact, if she didn't know any better, it almost sounded like those haunting voices were reciting the words of a diary. One that, at that very moment, sat on the bookshelf in her bedroom where she had last left it. "Okay," Lucy sighed, switching off the recorder. And with that, she knew what she needed to do. So, with a bit more confidence than she actually felt, Lucy set off in the direction of the bedroom, and presumably, those phantasmal voices.
The room temperature was vastly different from the rest of the house, and as Lucy entered the room, it felt eerily silent. She took a long look around the room. It looked the same, but at the same time, it felt so different. She made her way to the closet and grabbed a cardigan to help warm her, and then she sat on the edge of her bed when she was hit with something with such a force that it knocked her backwards. Not something that she could see, almost if somebody had opened a portal and the sheer force threw her into space that she had not been in just seconds before. When Lucy sat up, the room looked so different now. The bed she sat upon was no longer hers. The bedspread was no longer the soft pink, but now it was a floral light blue. The furniture looked expensive and was not the furniture she had picked. She rubbed her eyes, looking around, when she heard the distinct sound of high heels coming down the hallway. They abruptly stopped right outside the door leading into her room. "Hello, Lucy," a woman's voice says. "Who's there?" A slight terror in Lucy's reply. "You weren't invited into my home, so why are you here?" the voice replied. "This is my home. Who are you, and how did you get in?" "I never left." "I'm calling the police. You need to leave." Lucy, now standing but could not bring herself to enter the hallway, instead just started backing herself towards the window of the bedroom. Oh, you silly girl. None of us will be able to leave until you solved what happened here. The woman's voice sounded sad, but also a tad bit mocking. If you need something, then tell me who you are, Lucy demands. The woman outside the door laughed. And then the room felt quiet. You're smart enough to know who I am, Lucy, just as I am smart enough to know who you are. I lived here before you, me and my children, and we are unable to leave until you solved what happened to us. Let me see you then, Lucy says. Look into the town mayor. There are secrets and answers to be found with him. As if the conversation had never happened, Lucy is back in her room with her things, and she's more confused than ever.
The once well-lit room, which was illuminated and warmed by the fireplace, suddenly began to grow dark and cold. The odd woman's shadow began to envelop the room. The air thickened, and each breath became harder than the last. Lucy's pulse was speeding faster than a Kentucky racehorse. She felt that her heart could explode any second.
Am I dreaming?
She thought to herself. No, this felt too real. But this realization did not stop her from wishing that she would wake up safe in her warm bed. She did not like this new sensation of cold and dread.
From Lucy's perspective, the room appeared to be quickly shrinking, while the woman's encompassing presence continued to grow every second that passed. However, she knew that it was best to obey the warnings and not to turn around. The boys, which were standing in front of her, darted in opposite directions and hid behind the furniture. Lucy began to panic as she now realized what the boys feared. With only one question, Lucy had managed to draw out the ear of the woman. The woman let out a blood-curdling scream and began flinging furniture, decor, and other items across the room in a raging fit. With no time to waste, and too late to apologize, she frantically looked for a place to hide. She spotted a storage closet out of the corner of her eye and mustered the last of her strength to run. She flung open the louver doors, collapsing inside, and shut them quickly behind her.
This had to be the most stressful situation that Lucy had ever endured, and she did not manage stress well. She spent most of her life trying to avoid stress, as if it were the plague. Her stomach was twisting and turning in gut-wrenching knots with a nearly unstoppable urge to vomit. The foul smell of the air did not help, as it was now moldy and putrid. Her skin was tingling due to the stroke-level blood pressure. Her nervous system was pushed beyond overdrive. Lucy shifted all her mental focus to keep the contents of her stomach in her stomach. Wave after wave of nausea slammed into her like a tropical storm against a beach. Not sure of which would outlast the other.
Seconds after she felt that she had finally gained control, she relaxed her body and her focus for the briefest of moments, only for the unimaginable to happen. She farted. The sound could only be described as a creaking barn door with unoiled hinges being opened slowly.
Stupid,
she said to herself.
How could I be so stupid?
Her body had been tense for so long that a millisecond of relaxation proved quite damning. While she still did not know where the boys were hiding, she could now hear their high-pitched giggles. The chaotic noise from the woman's raging fit suddenly ceased. The room was eerily quiet, aside from the occasional uncontrollable giggle from the boys. She reopened her eyes and peeked through the tiny openings between the slats and the louver doors. Her heart almost jumped out of her chest as she saw the woman's heels right outside the door.
From behind her, she heard noises in the wall, and a cold, bony hand grabbed her shoulder from the darkness in the back of the closet. It dragged her through a previously unknown passageway and landed her up against a stone wall. She was really beginning to hate being dragged around so much. As her eyes adjusted to the new light, She saw an older, leathery, skinned man standing above her, holding a lantern with calloused hands. He was wearing grass-stained denim overalls and a dusty-rimmed hat. With one hand still firmly gripping her shoulder, he said,
"You're asking the wrong question."
Lucy's mind raced as the mysterious man's words echoed in the hidden passage.
You're asking the wrong question.
The cold, damp air stung her skin like needles as she struggled to comprehend the surreal twist her night had taken. The man, his face weathered with time, seemed to hold answers, yet his cryptic statement left her more confused than ever. As she gathered the courage to ask for clarification, the man simply vanished, leaving her alone in the dimly lit corridor. With the lantern now in her hand, Lucy cautiously explored the concealed room. The walls whispered untold secrets, and each step felt like a dance between reality and the supernatural. Running her fingers along the dusty tapestries, the sound of a cuckoo clock rang out. Startling Lucy. She walked over to it, hoping to be able to stop the wretched sound, but something looked odd. The cuckoo bird from the clock wasn't popping out of his home exactly straight. Lucy unhooked the clock from the wall, and as she opened the back, she encountered a peculiar artifact. A key with an otherworldly glow. As Lucy's fingers brushed against the ancient key, a malevolent radiance seeped through the room, casting twisted shadows on the time-worn walls. The air grew thick with a foreboding presence, and the spectral figures of the odd-looking woman and the twin boys materialized, their hollow eyes fixated on Lucy. With a good pull, she was able to grab the key. Surveying the room, she discerned no escape except a hidden door obscured behind a massive antique bookshelf. With a determined push, she revealed the portal, and to her astonishment, the glowing key seamlessly slid into the lock. Upon turning the key, the door creaked open, revealing a pitch-black abyss beyond. Undeterred, Lucy took a hesitant step in the inky darkness. As she descended the spiral staircase, the air grew colder and a haunting silence enveloped her senses. The descent led her to an eerie underground chamber, a dungeonous realm draped in cobwebs and shadows. An ominous altar stood at its center, adorned with cryptic symbols, and an ancient wooden table held a massive open book. Sitting off to the side, a crown, layered in goat fur with a set of horns atop it all. Approaching the dusty foam, Lucy deciphered pages adorned with interesting inscriptions and sinister-looking symbols. The ancient scroll contained chapters that resembled spells, the air heavy with the scent of aged parchment. A ghastly revelation. Blood red letters spelled out Diabolus, meaning the devil. Lucy's foreign studies recognized the Latin words that followed, qui divitus e opus cupe, meaning he who desires wealth and riches. The gravity of the revelation struck her, echoing the cryptic words of the enigmatic man, "You're asking the wrong question." Amidst the chilling revelations, Lucy's eyes widened as she stumbled upon a word that made her legs weak. Sacrificium? With a horrified gasp, she whispered, "Did the husband make a deal with the devil? Did he sell their souls for the position of mayor?" Lucy's stomach churned as a sudden wave of sickness washed over her. An icy breath on her neck made her heart plummet into her stomach. Unexpectedly, an unseen force seized her, starting from her ankles and slithering upwards. panic set in as grotesque, shadowy forms clawed their way up her body. A guttural scream escaped from her lips, echoing through the underground chamber. As Lucy's eyes darted left, a colossal mass of darkness rolled in, consuming reality. The black smoke churned with bone-chilling and bone-breaking sounds. Straining against invisible restraints, she witnessed the shadows forming a grotesque figure, its body contorting and twisting unnaturally. Two blood-red eyes peered through the void as every sound around her silenced and the room fell hushed. Lucy could only hear her heart pounding as a malevolent breath extinguished the lantern.
Those piercing red eyes gleamed through the darkened room like rubies in the sun. And while Lucy could feel every cell in her body telling her to run as far as she could, those eyes held her firmly in place. Lucy could also hear the faint whisper of something otherworldly. "You must close your eyes," echoed in her head like a mystical melody. "Close your eyes and you will see," the whispers urged. Lucy nodded her head, all while still staring at those red eyes in the dark abyss, as if entranced. Lucy closed her eyes, and as she did so, she was spun around. It was as if the room flipped on its head, and Lucy looked in disbelief at the room. It was daylight. Lucy squinted, trying to adjust her eyes to the brightness of the room. She was surrounded by old books and a large mahogany desk with a velvet green chair. This must be some kind of study or library, she thought, as she ran her hands over the spine of the old books that filled the shelves. Lucy started looking around the unfamiliar space, but soon heard footsteps coming her way. She could not shake the intuition that was telling her to hide, but where would she go? Even if she could hide, it was too late, and the door to the room opened. Lucy froze, waiting for the person entering to explain how they got in her home or why they were there. Instead, the man in a gray suit strode right past her as if she was invisible herself. Lucy then realized that she was a voyeur in her own home. Only, in this dreamlike time warp, this was not her home yet. This was his, and this man in front of her was the mayor. Yes, Mayor Scott Preston himself was sitting at the large desk. He poured himself a glass of scotch from a crystal decanter and took a large sip while closing his bright blue eyes. Mayor Preston put his head back on the chair and ran his free hand through his salt and pepper hair. The man was obviously distressed. This was confirmed when a knock at the door cut the silence like a knife through butter. An abnormally tall man, much taller than the mayor's 6 foot, stood in the doorway. His skin was so pale you could almost see through it. His nose was pointed and his eyes were the color of charcoal. The man sneered at the mayor's obvious distress. In one fluid motion, he closed the door to the room and all but floated to the mayor's side. "Scott, congratulations on your re-election," the tall man's voice came out as if a snake were hissing the words. "That is 3 years of success. And as you know, debts need to be paid." The tall man's snake-like voice almost joyful as he said the words. "I understand, but there has to be another way to make this right." Mayor Preston's deep voice sounded like a far cry from the confident and poised man in the campaign trail. His voice was desperate, pleading, and faltering. "When you made this deal, you knew the price, and you made it 3 times over. You signed in blood for your success, and now you think I am interested in anything but your soul?" The tall man bellowed as if he had heard something so blasphemous. "Scott, you will give me your soul at the end of this term, and I will come to collect. I do not need your money or notoriety. I will get what I came for, unless..." The snake-like voice trailed off as the man put his hand on his chin and smiled the most devious smile Lucy had ever seen. As if a ghost herself, she was a fly on the wall, and she was thankful the mayor and the tall man could not see her. "Name it. What can I do, please? I beg you. I'm not ready yet," Mayor Preston begged the man. Before the man could answer, the door to the study burst open and a very happy boy came running and giggling. He abruptly stopped at the sight of the tall man and the mayor snapped at the boy. "Benjamin, you know better than to come in when I have guests. Now get out of here. Now." The boy was shaken by his father's scolding.
He nodded his head and he scurried out the door. Lucy recognized the boy as one of the twins in her house. Lucy crossed the room and sat in a leather chair as if she was a therapist to hear the rest of this deal. But she was sure she knew the answer. As she sat down, the tall man suddenly became very rigid. His hands clasped together, and he turned and stared directly at the leather chair Lucy was seated in. Goosebumps covered her whole body instantly, and she took some relief knowing they could not see her. "Scott, you have 3 years you owe me for, so if you want to stay around a while longer, I will take something else in its place. Your boys," the tall man said in a matter-of-fact way, and did not offer options. Lucy's breathing was getting very rapid. How could the mayor give his boys to this man? Surely he wouldn't. Before Lucy could hear the mayor's answer, the tall man turned back to look in Lucy's direction and said, "It's a fitting deal, don't you think, Lucy?" Suddenly, everything started melting away, starting with the tall man's face as his venomous smile faded into the black. Lucy opened her eyes with a gasp. Again it was dark. Again she was cold. She could smell the damp and stale air. She was suddenly snapped back in her own time with some new memories, and it seemed a new enemy and a million questions. Who was the tall man? Did Mayor Preston agree to the deal? How was any of this possible? But most importantly, how did the tall man know she was there? Who she was, and had he seen her the whole time?
Lucy's head was spinning like a tilt-whirl, and she was fighting waves of nausea. Taking in a sharp breath to try to calm her nerves, Lucy glanced cautiously around the room, unsure what to expect. When she saw nothing but her own furniture, she quickly sagged down the floor to the wall. Her entire body felt heavy with exhaustion, but her mind was wide awake. After a brief second, Lucy started to formulate a mental plan. First step was to figure out more about the mayor and his late wife and kid. She felt like she needed more information. It was then that she remembered the diary. Lucy stood gingerly and walked across the room to where the diary lay haphazardly on the floor. With a hard swallow, she picked it up and flipped to a random open page, began to skim, the writing scrawled across the tattered paper. The moment that her eyes landed on the writing, she felt a chill snake down her spine. Instead of the handwriting she had seen when reading the diary before, this was distinctly different. As her eyes moved across the page, she heard the voice of the tall man speaking each word. It was as if he was whispering each word directly into her ear.
"Little Lucy, what do you think of my deal with the mayor? It seems like a fair deal, don't you think? I'm sure you're wondering who I am, and the answer will come to you in time."
The voice hissed sinisterly into her ear. Lucy took another glance around the room, half expecting the man to be lurking in the shadows. When she felt she was in fact alone, she continued on.
"I'm sure you believe the mayor took the deal since you know his entire family is dead. The things are not there as you see them. Just remember, the small things that reveal the most."
Again, Lucy was left with way more questions than answers. With no mental stamina left, all Lucy could do was think about closing her eyes, only just for a brief time. She decided to just lay on her bed, just to rest for a few moments. However, those few moments would quickly turn to hours as Lucy slept dreamless until the late morning.
The next day was unusually quiet in the manor, and it made her uneasy. There hadn't been a day since she moved in that it was this quiet. Was she going mad? No, that couldn't be it. Was it a tumor? No, she had a clean bill of health just a few months ago. There had to be a reasonable explanation, because if this was all real, why was it now silent? Lucy made her way to the kitchen and made herself a cup of tea, pondering and waiting for something to happen, for another clue. Why was no one in town asking questions about where the mayor's family was? The questions were giving her a headache. Maybe she just needed some fresh air. A nice walk, maybe that's exactly what she needs. Lucy walked to the door and grabbed her coat, slipped on her boots, and made her way down the long dirt driveway. It truly was beautiful out here. The house was exquisite, but the grounds of the home that the home stood on were even more breathtaking. Large oak trees lined the drive, but she couldn't lie. At night, it was eerie. If the wind blew hard enough, those massive trees seemed to dance in the darkness. It felt like she had been out for only a few minutes, but all of a sudden it was dark out. Where had the sunset been tonight? It was almost like the lights had just simply been turned off. Time seems to do that here, Lucy thought. But apparently, it wasn't just reserved for the manor. The whole damn place seemed to be in its own world entirely. Lucy made her way back inside, removed her jacket and her boots, when she got a whiff of something absolutely wonderful. Someone was cooking. Honey, dinner's almost ready. Get cleaned up. We're having pot roast. Who the hell? Lucy moved towards the kitchen, and the light seemed to be much brighter. The air felt so much lighter within the manor. She peered in and saw a woman standing in her kitchen, doing, just as she said, making a pot roast. The woman turned around. My God, she's beautiful. Long dark curls, perfect porcelain skin, and almost piercing blue eyes that Lucy had ever seen. Two little boys run in the room giggling and surely up to no good. Boys, wash your hands. Dinner is ready. Honey, dinner is ready. She knew it, that she was getting another glimpse. This was the woman. This is the woman who won't let me look at her. This is Mayor Preston's wife. I knew as soon as I saw the boys. But why this? Why this memory? They look so happy. They look so normal. How did we go from this to them being dead and seeking her help? She knew that this house was too quiet this morning. Lucy watched for another moment before walking over to the study, where, as she suspected, Mayor Preston was sitting at his desk. He looked stressed. He looks heartbroken. Lucy watched him and began to move closer, trying to get a look at what he was writing so intensely. She gets right behind him, close enough to see. He's writing his wife a letter. My lovely Lily, I didn't know what to do. I have worked so hard to provide and give you the life you always deserved. But apparently hard work isn't all it takes to move ahead. Politics is a dirty game, and I always promised you that I would keep my hands clean. But I broke that promise, Lily. I got used to the way people spoke to me. I got used to the life that we have built, and I couldn't let it go. That's the thing about power, I guess. One taste isn't ever enough. The original plan was to set you and the boys up, make it so that you never wished for anything for the rest of your lives. That's my job as a father and husband, to provide, and I've done a damn good job of it. But now I'm in too deep, and I'm not ready to leave you. I'm not ready to pay the price, and you're never gonna forgive me. I've thought for days on how to make this look like an accident. I have thought of ways to be able to keep you, because Lily, it's always been you. We would be heartbroken, but more children could always come. But then I worried that it would break you. So maybe I just, well, I don't know. I don't know that you will ever read this, because I don't even know what's going to happen. I haven't made up my mind on who will pay for my sins. Maybe I just need to write to my sweet, lovely Lily to try and work through it in my brain. Now you're yelling it from the kitchen that dinner is ready, and I haven't figured out what to do. No answers on what to do. But there is a debt to be paid. Ever yours, ever mine, ever ours. And everything went black.
When Lucy awoke in her bed the following morning, she felt as confused and exhausted as ever. It was like she had spent the last 48 hours in a feverish, dreamlike haze. What was this house doing to her? Had she really just slept for 2 days straight, conjuring up a wildly frightening nightmare about her beautiful new home? It was a troubling thought. But as Lucy laid there in her bed, the sun peeking through the curtains, she felt that was the only logical explanation. She had dreamt the whole thing up. Mayor Preston hadn't murdered his family, nor had he made any sort of deal with that tall snake of a man. The manor wasn't haunted by the ghost of the Preston family, and they certainly didn't need her help. This mental pep talk calmed Lucy, and for a moment she gave in to her senses. She began to stretch, allowing her tense muscles to relax. Her hands formed into fists as she lifted them above her head, her mouth opening in a slight yawn. That's when she noticed the crunching sensation of paper crumpling in her palm. "What's this?" she asked under her breath. Lucy sat up, straightening out the parchment on the comforter. Her blood ran cold the moment her eyes glanced down at the paper. It was Mayor Preston's letter. She hadn't been dreaming, after all. "That's it," Lucy yelped, throwing back the comforter in frustration. Within a matter of minutes, she was dressed and out the door. Behind the wheel of her old ratty pickup truck, Lucy drove confidently to the town library. It was time for answers, whether she liked it or not.
"Finally!" Lucy had thought as her truck bounced up and down on the dirt road from Willowbrook to town. I needed to not only just visit the manor, but there has got to be more info on the mayor and his family. Maybe I can find information on this campaign, Lucy continued to think. As she continued to drive and came to the paved road, she noticed that time seemed to be normal. Well, as normal as it could be, time seemed to jump around at Willowbrook. Lucy pulls up to the library, a three-story white-painted brick building in the center of town. The library was also where town officials, including the mayor, had their offices. I will find answers here, Mayor Preston, Lucy continued to think as she was getting out of the truck. As she walked in, she was greeted with many pictures of small-town events, along with pictures of those who held importance in the town. Locals at their businesses, town fairs, get-togethers were all over the walls. As she walked to go to the history section of the library, she even saw a picture of Mayor Preston and his family in front of Willowbrook Manor. Lucy stood and stared at the picture, trying to figure out if she could see evil in this picture. It was just a nice family photo. Lucy searched for anything on Mayor Preston. She had found old yearbooks, newspapers from his high school days. She even found a newspaper clipping of the announcement to his marriage with the lovely Lily. His growing up in the town seemed unremarkable. Nothing bizarre, no rumors about his family, nothing. He seemed normal, thought Lucy. It wasn't until Lucy found an old ad for Willowbrook Manor. It was being put on the market, and it was about how the mayor was going to purchase it, that she heard in her head, "You're asking the wrong questions." She still felt the embarrassment of the fart, but remembered what the old man with the leathery hand had said to her. "You're asking the wrong questions," repeated in her head. Lucy then switched her focus from the mayor to just Willowbrook Manor. She thought maybe the mayor did some sort of deal with the devil. But was it just him, or did Willowbrook hold something in it to make him want that sort of deal? She found old blueprints of other buildings in the town, old farmhouses owned by families for so many generations. The town's grade school seemed to be the oldest building in town, but Lucy could not find any information on Willowbrook and when it was built. She continued to dig through old newspapers and books. Finally, she thought, she had found an article and one picture of the family who had built Willowbrook Manor. As she looked at the photo, her heart jumped. She recognized the man in the old gray and white photo. It was the tall, thin, snake-like man who was talking to the mayor in his study. But this photo, it's gotta be well over 100, maybe 150 years old. How could he have been with Mayor Preston talking about a deal and the undertones of possibly murdering his family for his second campaign? Lucy just continued to have all these questions. And she knew she was getting closer to finding something out. She needed to find out who this guy was. The newspaper reporting on the destruction of Willowbrook wasn't too detailed, unfortunately. "Outsider buys big parcel of land to build a mansion," read the 1883 headline. The article had very little detail on the snake-like man, only that he and his family wanted to have a place of their own, and this was the perfect spot for his giant home. As Lucy continued to read the article, she saw the librarian coming her way. The librarian was old, hair so white it looked blue, but she had a small smile on her face as she approached Lucy. She began to speak as she got closer. "You're the young lady who is at Willowbrook, right?" The librarian's hand shook as she went to introduce herself. "I'm Joanne. Been here my whole life. So if there's anything you're specifically looking for, I can help." Joanne, the librarian's eyes maneuvered to a small hallway with stairs leading down. "Come with me." Lucy hesitated for 1 second, then began to follow Joanne to the stairs. They went to the basement where Joanne pulled a box from under a shelf and gave it to Lucy. "Here." A big thump landed into Lucy's arms. It wasn't a lightweight box at all. Joanne continued, "I didn't want this out on the library floor. Here, you can find all the information to the man who built your home. I don't want to kick you out, but the library is closing in about 30 minutes or so. You could take this with you." Lucy thanked Joanne multiple times, telling her she will bring the box back. Joanne just nodded and said, "Bye." Lucy jumped back into her truck. The sun was starting to set as she drove back to Willowbrook. The heavy box sitting next to her was not moving or bouncing, even as she got onto the dirt road. As she drove back up to Willowbrook, Lucy could feel the time starting to slow down. Or was it speeding up? "Please, no one drag me again," Lucy thought as she walked into the Willowbrook Manor with the heavy box. She then placed it on the big dining room table, started going through the papers. Lucy was getting tired, and as she was about to just call it for the day and not read anymore, she found a picture. A picture of the thin, snake-like man and his family. But it was odd. The old picture reminded her of the picture she found of Mayor Preston and his wife, Lily, when they had the photo taken in front of Willowbrook also. It was like a mirror image. The tall husband with the air of confidence around him. A wife who seemed very proud of her family and two little boys. Same poses, and in front of Willowbrook Manor. Creepy, thought Lucy.
The eerie tranquility of the manor that day was a stark contrast to the tumultuous events of the night before. Lucy's mind was a whirlwind of confusion and fear, yet a part of her clung to a desperate hope that understanding the manor's past could unveil the secrets needed to lay its tormented spirits to rest. As she sifted through the old documents and photographs in the box provided by Joanne, Lucy's gaze fell upon a particularly ancient-looking journal, its cover worn and edges frayed. The journal, belonging to the original owner of Willowbrook Manor, contained entries that spanned several decades, detailing not just the construction of the manor, but the man's growing obsession with occult practices and the attainment of eternal life. One entry, dated shortly before his mysterious disappearance, spoke of a ritual that would grant him the power he sought, but at a grave cost. The manor was to be the final piece in this dark puzzle, a focal point for energies that would bind the souls of his descendants to his own, ensuring his return in another form. The final page contained a warning, a plea from the man's wife who seemed to have written the journal in secret. She warned of a curse that had been set upon their lineage and implored any who read it to break the cycle, to prevent the return of her husband's malevolent spirit. She spoke of a hidden room in the manor, sealed away, that contained the heart of the curse. A room Lucy had yet to discover. Lucy's hands trembled as she placed the journal down, a sense of urgency taking hold. She knew what she had to do. The answer lay somewhere within the walls of Willowbrook Manor, in a room that held the key to unraveling the past and freeing the spirits bound to it. She rose from the table, her resolve steeling her fear, and began her search for the hidden room. Every corridor, every whisper of the wind through the manor's eaves seemed to guide her, until she came upon a peculiar section of the library wall that felt unnaturally cold to the touch. Lucy pressed against the wood, and to her astonishment, it swung inward with a creak, revealing a narrow passageway dimly lit by the flickering light of torches that seemed to burn without being consumed. The air was thick with the smell of ancient earth, and something else, something sinister. The passage led her down into the bowels of the manor where she found the sealed room. The door was heavy, bound in iron, with a large keyhole that seemed to beckon the key she found earlier. As she inserted and turned the key, a cacophony of whispers filled the air around her, the temperature dropping so suddenly that her breath became a visible fog in the torchlight. Inside the room, Lucy was met with a sight that would haunt her to her dying days. A grand ritual circle was etched into the floor, its markings glowing faintly with an unnatural light. At the center stood an altar, and upon it, a book bound in human skin, open to a page with a single word written in blood. Renaissance. The rebirth. Lucy's heart pounded in her chest as she realized the truth. The original owner had never left Willowbrook Manor. He had become a part of it. His spirit waiting, hungry for a chance to return to the living world. And now, with each passing moment, the veil between worlds grew thinner. With shaking hands, Lucy reached out to the book, knowing that within its pages lay the power to end the curse or to unleash an unspeakable evil. The choice was hers, and hers alone. The weight of countless souls bore down upon her, their silent screams urging her to act, to save them, to save herself. As the whispers grew to a deafening roar, Lucy turned the page.
Lacey woke up in a feverish dream. Had she seen what she thought she had seen the night before? Waking up in bed must have been a good sign, she thought. How had she woken up in bed, though? What was the last thing she remembered? It has been a rough couple of days, and the stress of all of this thrusted upon her shoulders was becoming too much, and oddly, she felt like she had slept for hours. Pushing back the covers and stretching out her arms, that was weird. She heard the same crunching noise as she had the morning before. To her astonishment, that was the same letter in her hand. It can't be, can it? She unraveled the paper in her hand to find that it was the mayor's letter to his wife, Lily. Lucy sprang out of bed, grabbed her nearest hoodie, and ran to the table where the heavy box was placed last night. The box was gone, the dust undisturbed. She grabbed her keys and took off back to the library. Again, the town seemed normal. The older man, who owns the only tool shop around, was sweeping the ground outside. The ladies at the salon, from what Lucy could tell, were already gossiping this morning, and the coffee truck had a small line down the block. As Lucy drove, she noticed the date on the bank was still showing yesterday's date. I can't be in my own Groundhog's Day right now. With quick pace, Lucy walked into the same three-story white painted building. This time, she was skipping the archives and started with a search for Joanne. Joanne wasn't too hard to find, though she is tiny and could easily be missed with scanning a crowd. This morning, the library was not bustling with patrons yet, so finding the only other human was pretty easy. Joanne, thank God you're here, Lucy shouted, while startling the kind woman. Good morning, dear. How can I help you? Lucy forgot Joanne hadn't met her yet. Hi, I was told you were the best person to ask. I'm Lucy, and I'm new in town, and I just brought Willowbrook Manor, and I need your help. Oh yes, I had heard someone bought that place. Come with me. Lucy had the sense that she was not surprised to see me, almost like she was expecting me to show up, Lucy thought. They moved towards the basement like they had the day before. Lucy recognized the box and almost moved towards it before Joanne pointed it out. Lucy thanked her as she walked towards the exit. Lucy had a plan to finish the box this time. She will skip all the items she looked at yesterday and dig around for more clues that could help. She made quick work of the drive, and in no time she was separating the items. She hadn't found anything she thought that could help. The only thing to do was to go back into that room. So mustering up all her strength, she made her way back. Waking up in bed, feeling the paper in her hand, Lucy knew she had failed again. This is the 10th time she's no further than she was 9 days ago. Well, maybe it's not even 9 days ago, she wondered. As an avid movie watcher, Lucy had seen her fair share of time loop movies, and she knew that there's a way to get out of this. Lucy decided it was time to ask Joanne for help. She might be the only one who can.
Lucy quickly got dressed and headed back to the library. This time, when she entered, Joanne was waiting for her at the front desk, a knowing smile on her face.
Lucy, dear, I've been expecting you, Joanne said, her voice carrying a calm reassurance. Lucy, slightly taken aback, managed a nervous smile. You knew I would be back? Joanne nodded. I have been waiting for someone like you to live in that house. You see, I used to live in Willowbrook Mansion. It was my husband who cursed us and this town with his lust for eternal life. Lucy gasped. You're the tall man's wife? But you must be hundreds of years old. My dear, Joanne said, when you make a deal with the devil, reality as you know it ceases to exist. My husband succeeded in the ritual, but at the cost of mine and my children's lives. It is not easy for a spirit to move on when they have suffered such a distressing death. But in order for my husband to remain immortal, he must become something that is no longer human. And three lives were not enough to ensure immortality. You must stop him before he takes more. Lucy's head was spinning, but before Lucy could ask any more questions, Joanne's eyes, unfocused and almost like she snapped back to reality, said in a surprised tone, "Oh, Lucy, I didn't see you there. Can I help you with anything?" Confused, Lucy stammered, "No, I'm okay. Thanks, Joanne." She walked away, trying to unpack what just happened. It was almost like Joanne was possessed. Lucy abruptly stopped. Was that the thin man's wife's spirit in Joanne's body? And what did she mean, he succeeded in the ritual? Her mind raced, and then she remembered the book bound in human skin. She turned around and approached Joanne. Actually, there is something you can help me with. Where can I find books on sacrifices and cults? Joanne gave Lucy an inquisitive look and then directed her to aisle 6. Lucy thanked her and began searching the aisle for anything on demonic rituals and rebirthing rituals. She searched for hours and was just about to give up when she noticed some pages missing in a book titled Via Vita Eterna. Curious, she took out her phone and translated the title, The Way of Eternal Life. Lucy realized the torn-out pages must be in the human-bound book. She knew where she needed to go.
Lucy ran to her old, ratty pickup truck, started the engine, and raced off down the street, the exhaust leaving a trail of white smoke behind it. Her nerves were running wild as she cruised down the street back toward the manor. As she pulled into the driveway, she noticed the tall, thin man watching her from a second-story window. Without hesitation, she came to an abrupt stop, shifted into park, and turned the key in the ignition to kill the engine. Jumping out of her truck and instantly looking back up at the window, he was still there. They stared sternly at one another before Lucy darted toward the front door. Bursting through like a hurricane, she quickly ran up the stairs past Lily's two twin boys, who stood holding hands at the top of the stairs. As she passed them, they looked at each other and smirked, entering her bedroom and going straight to the bookshelf, knowing she was pulled into a strange room just the other day, but unsure how exactly she was going to get there on her own. Pulling on books that were on the shelf, thinking there was a lever to open the bookshelf to reveal a secret room, she heard a whisper from behind her, dropping a book on the floor. As she turned to see, once again, Lily's two boys standing on the opposite side of the room, her heart pounding as one of them looked up at the light that stuck out of the wall. She gulped as she approached the light by the two boys. They smiled at her as she slowly reached up and grabbed a hold of the light and felt it move slightly. She looked down at the boys, and they both nodded in unison, returning a smile before pulling on the light, which turned out to be a lever. Hearing a loud squeak, she turned to see the bookshelf cracked open like a door would be. As she pushed open the bookshelf to reveal the secret room with the altar, a maniacal laugh rang out through the house. Lucy froze for a quick second before feeling her adrenaline rush through her veins. Determined, she continued her way into the room and straight for the altar, where she laid eyes on that book once again. Turning through the pages, She stopped on one that had tear marks near the binding, like it had come from another book. She immediately began to try and decipher the symbols and the words that appeared to be in Latin. A sacrifice of the one who made the deal, said a hissing snake-like voice. Startled, Lucy peered up from the book to see the tall, thin man standing in the shadows in the corner of the room. He was still. Lucy could feel her heart pound out of her chest as she gazed upon this vicious entity that seemed like it would never stop until it swallowed every soul that enters the manor.
The mayor?
He made the deal, did he not? Hissed the man as he slowly emerged from the shadows. Why are you even helping me? I was once human, a caring father, a loving husband, but I was dying. I have achieved eternal life. In order to continue on, I need energy. Other souls? Lucy asked as she stepped back away from the altar. I was a Confederate general, once highly respected, dying from a gunshot wound in my stomach, walking aimlessly through the forest when I happened upon an old church. No longer occupied or used, I thought. What better place to expire? That's where I found the book. That's where I sold my soul. A lot of blood and sweat and tears went into this manor. I've been eating souls ever since. And I'm hungry! Lucy bolted to the door as the tall, thin man gave chase. She shut the bookcase behind her and a loud thud rang out as if the man ran into it. In the act of shutting the door, she had fallen to the floor. Turning to look back up at the shelf, she could feel her heart beating out of her chest. Once again, the house was quiet. The sound of a car door shutting interrupted the peace. Lucy looked toward the window in the bedroom before climbing to her feet to go and investigate. Outside in the driveway sat a U-Haul moving truck. Next to it stood a young man with bright blue eyes and short curly hair, accompanied by two twin boys. Her boys. It was Brian, her husband, and their children finally arriving at the manor. Her heart sank as she turned to run out of the room to hopefully meet them outside and prevent them from entering the manor. Just before she reached the bottom of the stairs, her family entered the home. Brian, with a big smile appearing on his face as his eyes met his wife. Get out! She yelled as she continued running toward them. Brian's smile faded, and he quickly became concerned. He grabbed a hold of Lucy by her shoulders. What's wrong? The manor, it's haunted, exclaimed Lucy. Calm down, stated Brian. Lucy forced her husband's hands off of her and said, never in the history of telling someone to calm down has caused them to actually calm down. What's wrong, Mommy? Asked one of the boys. Lucy looked down at her two boys and then back at Brian. I don't really have time to explain. I need to go see the mayor. For what? I just said I don't have time to explain, snapped Lucy. You're scaring the boys, said Brian before Lucy actually started to calm down. She took a deep breath and she allowed them into the house. Sit down and talk to me. Okay, said Lucy as she turned to lead her husband toward the kitchen. The boys immediately took off up the stairs laughing. So, real quick, before you explain what's happening, Gary said that the book is doing really well.
Oh my God. That's amazing, Brian.
Lucy turned to hug her husband. As her arms wrapped around him, she felt a sharp pain in her chest. Stepping back away from Brian in a state of confusion, she noticed a knife in his hand that was soaked in blood. Grabbing her chest, she noticed the hole and the blood pouring out of it. "I'm so sorry, Lucy," stated Brian, as Lucy's legs gave out and she fell to the floor. "I really wanted to sell this book. I've worked so hard on it." Gary said that Willowbrook Manor was going to be the best book, the best-selling book this year. "No, don't do this." Lucy's voice was quiet and slow. "You don't want to. Trust me. I have to," stated Brian as he stood over her. Sacrifice yourself," said Lucy as her vision was beginning to fade. The maniacal laughter echoed through the halls of the manor as Brian slowly turned and began walking toward the stairs. Lucy's breathing began to slow down as she tried to lift her head and yell, but nothing was coming out. Her vision was now blurry as she watched her husband reach the stairs and call out to the boys. "Boys, I need to speak with you."
And that concludes another gripping episode of Total Conundrum. What a ride that was. The moral of the story, don't make deals with the devil. Lucy's tragic fate at Willowbrook Manor will leave us wanting more.
It sounds like a sequel to me, Jeremy. Thanks for sticking with us, Conundrum crew. Make sure to follow, rate, and review our podcast on Apple and Spotify. And don't forget to subscribe and like on YouTube and hit that notification bell so you're always in the loop. Until we meet again in the next episode, keep on creeping on. We love you.
Catch you later, Conundrum crew. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us here at Total Conundrum. Please make sure to check out our website and blog at totalconundrum.com for news, upcoming events, merch, bloopers, and additional hysteria. You never know what will pop up, so be sure to follow along. If you want to show your support for Total Conundrum and gain access to all of our bonus content, please visit our Patreon page. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The links are available in our show notes. If you have any questions, comments, recommendations, or stories to share, please email us at contact@totalconundrum.com. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate the love. Keep on creeping on, mother cluckers.